This is an iHeart podcast.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Thursday. The weekend is almost here and it is getting fun. And more fun out there in the world of politics. Why am I pumped up about tonight? Because there actually aren't any really big stories. And I love nights like this. I'm supposed to dread nights like this. Oh, no, there's no big stories. I get to talk more about me. I get to talk more about history. We're going to talk about everything from a Republican drag queen to the Church of England. El Chapo, Trump and the vaccines, China, interest rates, everything under the sun. We're going to talk about all of it. You know what? You know what else we're doing tonight? I never do this. We're going to take your phone calls. No, don't call in. That's not going to be for quite a while. And no, they're not going to be, oh, first time, long time. Give me your political opinion. I'll tell you what the calls are going to be about in a little while. It'll be at least next hour before we start all that. We're going to get to emails. We're going to laugh. You know what else we're going to do? We're going to scream. And don't forget, tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Ask me anything. The whole show dedicated to your questions. Email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, and email me right now. Now, because there's not a ton of huge stuff out there, I want to focus on one of my favorite things right now. I want to focus on me and all the times that I've been right, and one of the big things that I've been right about routinely. You see, we have a problem. Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's good. You know what? Maybe I shouldn't call it a problem. Maybe I misspoke there, but I consider it to be a problem, and this is what I consider the problem to be. Because you want things to get better, and I want things to get better. We have hope. Hope's a good thing in general, right? You want some hope. Hope is a good thing. Because we have hope, we convince ourselves that it's just about to get better. Any minute it's going to get, for whatever reason, we've bottomed out. People are waking up. For whatever reason, things are just about to get better, man. Just one more election, almost there. And one of the great examples of this I've used is the New York City mayoral election. New York City was running very well. And then Bill de Blasio came along. Bill de Blasio is a card-carrying communist. Please understand that his parents were Sandinistas. He was a full-blown communist, a real communist. That's what he believed. And he took the most important city in the United States of America, and he destroyed it. And because he destroyed it, I'm dumping on the cops. It was just awful, the things he did. Because he destroyed it, I watched every friend I had in New York try to sell me on this leading up to the next election when de Blasio was termed out. No. You're going to see. It's going to change. Things are going to change. Things are going to turn around. People were mad about de Blasio. It's going to turn around. They're going to vote Republican, or they're going to go with a hardcore cop supporting Democrat. Or, like, I watched this over and over and over and over again. And it got so bad. There's so many of them that told me this. I started to buy into it a little bit. Oh, man, you know what? They might be right. And then I woke up and you remember I came right here and I told you what? I told you things aren't about to get better. And I got responses like this from New York. Oh, Jesse, but Eric Adams was a cop. Eric Adams is going to get better. And this is what I told you. And this doesn't just apply to New York. This applies actually nationally. I could say this is replace Eric Adams with Joe Biden and they're in the exact same situation. This is the situation. Because we want things to get better and because things are bad, we convince ourselves that the people we put, quote, in charge are going to realize that people are unhappy and they're going to change. The truth is this. The people we think are in charge are not actually in charge. And therefore, even if they want to do something, something good, something right, they're not allowed by the powers that be to do that. I brought up Joe Biden. Let's go to Joe Biden. Joe Biden has been a lifelong loser, a lifelong liar, a lifelong plagiarizer. I mean, anything bad, really, you can say about Joe Biden personally is really supported by his history. But I will say this. Joe Biden does not have a history in politics of being a hardcore left-winger. He's certainly always been a Democrat. He's been left. But he doesn't have a history of being, I mean, gosh, to the left of Barack Obama. And yet, since he's been elected president, that's how he's governed. Why? Well, Joe Biden isn't in charge of anything. Even if Joe Biden was a fully functional adult, which he's very obviously not, even if Joe Biden was a fully functional adult, Joe Biden would not be allowed to take a moderate position on anything. Why? Well, all of his advisors are communists. All of the major donors and donor groups to the Democratic Party, they're all communists now. They're all George Soros types. Hey, let every criminal go free. They're all climate change death cult types. Destroy the oil and gas industry, build solar panels. They're all, hey, kill every single baby in the womb, no matter when types. These are the gigantic groups. Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter is a big part of this. Hey, kill Whitey. Give millions of dollars to black people. Every part of the Democratic base that organizes votes and organizes gigantic sums of money to the Democratic Party, most definitely Joe Biden's presidential campaign, they're not going to allow Joe Biden to get elected and then turn around and spit in their face. So even if he wanted to, Joe Biden's never going to moderate. He's not allowed to moderate. Eric Adams. Speaking of New York, we brought up New York. Eric Adams. Headline. New York City won't drop sanctuary status despite the mayor saying there's no more room for migrants. Eric Adams running to the cameras every other day now that Texas is sending him our illegal immigrants. Hey, good luck, New York. And New York has, of course, declared long ago, we're a sanctuary city. Illegals are all welcome here. And Eric Adams starts to get overwhelmed because you see, New York City is not the United States of America. As wealthy, powerful, and important as New York City is, they can't create and print their own currency. They still have budgets. They have profit loss sheets. This is the money coming in. This is the money going out. Uh-oh. Eric Adams sees that illegal immigration is a huge problem. He's finally experiencing what all those tiny border towns have been experiencing for a long time. Eric Adams throws up the signal flare. Hey, maybe we should stop. We need help. We're out of room. We're out of money. Someone help. But Eric Adams isn't in charge. Eric Adams isn't running. Think, oh, sure, he's mayor. Do you have any idea how many favors Eric Adams had to call in to become mayor of New York City? You have any idea when there's that much wealth at stake? You have any idea how connected you have to be, how much help you need from people? And these people help you not because you got a winning smile. He was so nice to my son when they met. Ah, I put up a picture, a selfie with me and him on Instagram. No, they were all those powers that be were very nice to Eric Adams and Joe Biden because they promised certain things. And now they have to deliver on those certain things, or the favors and the money go away. I warned you a long time ago that Joe Biden wouldn't govern as a moderate, and neither would Eric Adams, even if they wanted to, because they're not allowed. And I'm warning you now, conditions in the country within Democrat-controlled areas are nowhere near improving. There's not even a mechanism to improve them. The voters will all go vote Democrat every single time. Most of these elections are fortified. The people have proven repeatedly they're not bothered by high taxes, high crime, high regulations. They're not bothered by COVID shutdowns. Things aren't changing in certain areas in this hope some of us have that they are is oftentimes misplaced. I'm not telling you things are hopeless. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying we have to make sure we are more judicious. That's a great word. What a big word, Chris. What? I read it last night. Sorry, you can't drop words like that. We have to be more judicious with where we place that hope. And along those lines, I have a disappointing bit of audio for you. Where we place our hope, where we shouldn't place our hope. Well, this audio will probably might hurt a little bit, but I'm going to play it for you, and I'm going to play it for you next. Here's something else. You really, really, really shouldn't be placing your hope in the economy. Here's the Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen. Listen very closely.
I think we'll see a substantial reduction in inflation in the year ahead.
It's going to take a year.
Well, I believe by the end of next year, you will see much lower inflation if there's not an unanticipated shock.
Please tell me you have fortified your 401k or IRA with some actual gold. Have you seen what the home builders are doing? Have you seen the layoffs out there? Layoffs by the thousands, tens of thousands. There are ugly things on the horizon. Get gold and silver delivered to your front door. Get gold and silver in your 401k IRA so 2023 doesn't become the year you lost your retirement you've been saving your whole life for, all right? Oxford Gold is who I trust. They are wonderful people. They're just like us, and they will help. 833-995-GOLD. Tell them Jesse told you to call. 833-995-GOLD. Oxford Gold Group. For gold, you can hold.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so? Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I told you it was going to be a wild night tonight. I've got this audio I'm going to play you for a second. Speaking of being careful where you put your hope, but I want to address a couple things. I have somebody, I should have mentioned this in the open. I have an investigative reporter coming on about 10, 15 minutes from now. You know, I don't usually do that, but she has been working on something, and it is one of the more jaw-dropping things I've read about adoption and abuse, and it is a story I want the world to know about, so I'm bringing her on. Along those lines, I asked last night, because I know a bunch of people are thinking about adoption, and I love that. I asked last night for people to write in and tell me some things that they know about it. People have gone through it. Here's a couple emails real quick before I get to the ugly. Jesse, replying to your listener's question about adoption. Our family fostered babies waiting to be adopted through a Christian organization. Remember, there are Christian organizations that do this, by the way. They seek to minister to the birth mom who's decided to place her child into a family who wanted a child, either because they couldn't have children on their own or just wanted to expand their existing family. This organization is very creative and helpful options for funding these families. I highly recommend LifelineChild.org. Now, I need to clarify something. Pause on the email. I have not checked out this organization, and I forgot to ask Chris to check out this organization. This is a listener email. I am not endorsing, because I don't ever endorse anything that I haven't checked out. I don't do that to you. But this is that sounds legit, all right? Go do your own research. LifelineChild.org. Anyway, she goes on to say, we no longer foster babies, but we continue to donate to their wonderful ministry. Thank you for this opportunity to share. P.S. Your passion for the USA and what's good for her is a huge encouragement to our family. You betcha. Second one here, adoption. Step one, get a home study. Okay, apparently. Two, speed up the process. FBI background checked. State background check. I didn't know you had to do that. Of course, that makes sense. A home study. They're going to check out the home, your finances, and talk with everyone in the home. That makes sense. They would do interviews and stuff like that. Now, I am curious who does these interviews, Chris. Is that the state? Is that the adoption agency? I bet you it's the adoption. It doesn't matter. Anyway, it's a pretty easy process, this guy says, but time-consuming. Of course, that's for adopting American kids, which can take a year. Okay, that's actually not as long as I thought. He said internationally can take up to 3 years. Once cleared, you pick your kids. I'm in the process and waiting. He said, don't say his name. I might curse him. And I, of course, would not say his name. So there, There's a couple things on adoption for you. Now, that was a good, makes you feel good. And you know what? You know what the truth is? It's just you and me talking, so let me take a moment before we get back to politics and be careful where you put your hope and stuff like that. Here's the honest truth. You know that I have expressed regret to you before that we don't have more kids. You know, we have two wonderful boys, and I love being a dad so much. I'm not any good at it, but I do love it. I enjoy it a great deal. I love my little buddies. And we had one. We had our oldest son, James, and then one of them close together. So she got pregnant, and then we lost that one, miscarriage. And then we had another one. And because, you know, this is so lame to say, I guess, but because of the miscarriage and all that, we decided, hey, we got a second healthy one. Let's call it quits. Let's cut bait. We're good. And I love being a dad so much that I wish we had more. And I wished we had dug more into adoption. I have all the excuses for why we didn't, but I wished we'd done that. And honestly, you writing me in all the time on the show about adoption and I want to adopt, Jesse, how do we adopt? I feel like almost I'm doing that to make up for the fact that I didn't. Does that make sense? That makes sense. That's what it feels like. It feels like I'm doing that because it's a regret I have, and now I kind of need you to do it for me. So there you go. In case you're wondering, maybe you're a brand new listener. In case you're wondering, that's why I talk about that stuff a lot. I've always viewed it as just something wonderful because kids are just wonderful, right? And I look at all these stories. Like last night, I talked about that 16-year-old who was stabbed, and kids that grow up in these horrible environments. And when you read oftentimes about these kids, oftentimes they turn out to be violent criminals, and you'll see them, you'll watch a documentary on them or do just see an interview, read an interview with them of some kind, and you find out from so many of these people, again, I'm not excusing vile, violent trash, but you find out from so many of these people, they were just raised in hell, man. They were raised in hell. Me, I'm 41. To this day, I will call if I have a financial decision. Hey, Dad, should I refinance my home? I call my father. I call my dad. I have a question about the kids or something like that. To this day, I'll probably call her on the way home. I'll pick up my phone and I'll call my mom. Mom will tell me. They'll probably be there together doing that annoying thing old people do where they put it on speakerphone and then they think you can hear them across the room. So mom will be by the phone, of course, but dad's making dinner or eating dinner most likely. And then all you hear is, oh, it's had a bad time for mama. And you don't have, and I have to say, mom, can you get dad closest? But to this day, I have parents I can call and they'll be there giving me advice. And it occurs to me there are so many kids. It saddens me, I guess I should say. There are so many kids, not just in America, but worldwide who grow up and they never have that. Maybe they don't have two, but many of them don't have one. They just have nothing. And so being able to take someone from that situation and bringing them into a wonderful situation where they are sought out and loved, I just always have admired it. That's all. So you foster parents, you adopted parents, you're my heroes. I think that's really cool. All right, enough of that. Enough of that stuff. I didn't even get to the audio about being careful where we place our hope. I'll wait till after my interview with Mia before I get to that, but then I will play it in the opening of the last segment of the hour, all right? Hang on. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Did Mia pick this song, Chris? She did? Gosh, my respect for her just went up. It was already pretty high. Joining me now, Mia Cathell, outstanding reporter with townhall.com, and has a bombshell story that has been making the rounds today. Mia, one, your taste in music is outstanding. Two, this is your story, not mine. We talk a lot about adoption and things like that on this show, so you take it away from the top. The floor is yours.
Thanks so much for having me on. Yes, it's a bombshell investigation. It's been months in the making. Ever since the adoptive fathers, they were arrested in this armed overnight raid on their mansion last summer, so it made national headlines. But ever since, there's been a complete media blackout on the story, even from local outlets like AJC. And so you would think that all these on-the-ground outlets in Georgia, given that Atlanta has a huge human trafficking problem, that they'd be digging into the court documents. They know Georgia's judicial court system, but no, there hasn't been anything. So I'm really happy that the story is getting the attention that it deserves.
Mia, take it from the very top. Okay, I've never read the article. I just got back. I've been on Mars for the last 3 years. What are you talking about? What happened?
So my investigation revealed that this affluent LGBTQ activist couple, they're accused of sodomizing their young adopted sons, who they adopted through this faith-based special needs adoption agency. They're accused of sodomizing them, of distributing homemade child pornography, of the sexual abuse. And not only that, they were allegedly pimping out their children to nearby pedophiles in the Atlanta area suburbs.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, let's pause on this and rewind for a moment. A faith-based special needs agency approved a gay couple for adoption? Do I have that right?
Yes. It's called All God's Children. And so, yeah, somehow they conducted these background checks on them, and they were vetted through. And as their event page for their adoption shower, they said that the adoption process was moving along faster than expected. So it seems like it was an expedited process.
Okay. Now, help me understand what's happening legally right now to these monsters. Okay, and I guess I should also ask, the poor child they adopted was special needs as well. Do I have that right?
Yes, they were two of them. They were biological brothers, a sibling pair.
Okay. Now, what is happening to these two monsters who were abusing these kids? Where are they at legally?
So they're both still stuck in jail because they were denied bond because they're obviously dangerous to children in the community. And so they're facing 17 counts. And this indictment charges them with soliciting two other men to allege pedophiles in the area of engaging in prostitution with their now 11-year-old son.
God have mercy. Okay, where was the failure, Mia? You're the one who's been digging. I haven't done any digging. I'm a radio idiot. Who screwed what up? How do two children get thrown in with the wolves like this?
I mean, so during my investigation, I learned that 7 years prior to the adoption, one of the adoptive fathers was accused of being a child rapist, but was never charged. This was in 2011. He was accused of luring a 14-year-old boy to a house and raping him there. But the child rape case was shut down. No charges were pursued against him. And so apparently, because it wasn't documented anywhere, I guess it never showed up in the adoption paperwork or in some kind of hearing before the adoption was finalized. And so it looks like the sheriff's office didn't do their due diligence. It looks like, you know, their child welfare system, they obviously didn't vet them properly.
Okay, let me ask you about that case. Let's travel down these holes together here. You say lured a 14-year-old there and then assaulted him terribly, and then it wasn't pursued. What does that mean? Do they think the kid was lying? Was there no evidence? Was this guy who allegedly did this friends with the sheriff? What does it mean it wasn't pursued? Why? What happened?
So the district attorney said it was closed without a whole lot of investigation into it. And so when I reached out to the sheriff's office for comment on why they closed the case and charges weren't filed, they said that back then they had different investigatory standards. So I guess when it comes to child rape, and so the officers that mishandled the investigation have since retired. So I guess they're trying to shrug their shoulders that no one can really be held responsible. And now they've reopened the case and they're trying to seek any leads that may still yield charges.
Oh, okay. Final thing on this, I think, Mia, unless you think there's something else we need to add. How are the kids? That's really what I want to know. Do we know how the kids are? Obviously, I'm sure they're not doing wonderfully, but are they okay?
We honestly don't know. You know, the kids already came from a broken home. According to what some of the family members know, their biological parents were heroin addicts. And so the state intervened, and then they placed them into this abusive household with, you know, apparent pedophiles. And then now they're back in foster care, and no one knows where they are, if they're safe, and if they're healing.
So they went from heroin-addicted parents to being adopted by a gay couple that pimped them out right back into the foster system. God have mercy. Mia, please, privately, if you don't mind, will you keep me updated on this? Whenever you find something out, we'll bring you back on, get updates from you. Mia Cathell, go read all her stuff at Town Hall. Thank you, Mia. I appreciate it. I know it's ugly.
Thank you.
See, this is exactly what I'm talking about. This is exactly what we were just talking about last segment on the show. And I don't know why it turned into an adoption show or whatnot, but this is what I mean. Children born to heroin parents and then get, quote, saved from that situation right out of the frying pan, right into the fire, and then right from that back into the foster care system. And I think about my own self. Maybe you're thinking about yourself right now. Maybe, look, maybe you have issues with your parents. Maybe they weren't the best parents in the world, but gosh, kind of puts things into perspective, does it not? When you hear stories like that, gosh, that is just terrible. All right. I mentioned that be careful where you put your hope. I promised you at the beginning of next segment I was going to play the audio for you, and I will. So until we get to that, let's get to a couple emails real quick. Don't forget, we still got phone calls to come tonight. We're going to have fun. We got to talk Church of England. El Chapo. Again, Chris, that's Spanish for the Chapo. You wouldn't know about that. Dear Jesse, why aren't all Republicans pushing for the FBI to raid Biden's home, seeing as he has documents just like Trump did? What are they afraid of? The hypocrisy is astounding. His name is Frank. Well, it doesn't matter what Republicans push for. Democrats have understood, to their credit, have understood for the longest time, I shouldn't sit and fret about elections. I shouldn't fret about the will of the people, what the people want. The communist has never concerned himself with such things. The communist understands that power is what matters. So what am I saying? Well, while we were busy worried about winning elections, the midterms, the presidency and things like that, the communist was busy filling the administrative state with activists loyal to him. Republicans can yell and scream all day long. If Trump was president again, let's say we get what we want. Trump's back as president. He's on his second term. Trump's president again. And Trump stood up there right now at the podium saying, hey, go raid these guys. You raided me. The FBI would still have the authority to say, nah, not interested. Sorry, Mr. Prez. They understand where real power is. We don't. We focus on presidential elections. I got to get my congressman elected. The communist has always understood where the real gatekeeper positions are, and he's always understood that's where he needs to go. He's not worried about political power. He's worried about real power, and he's definitely not worried about political popularity. Republicans can yell and scream till the cows come home. That ain't going to change a thing once you've got a communist FBI. Now, speaking of focusing on local and the presidency ain't coming to save us, got some audio for you. Ugh. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
In the city.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, reminding you now, get your questions in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com, because tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and we're going to spend all 3 hours answering your questions. Did I not churn and burn through them? Huh? Look, ask me anything. Does not have to be political. History, food, travel, men, women, stupid stuff. I don't care what it is. Fridays, we have a blast. Well, we always have a blast, but Fridays, we have a blast. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Get your questions emailed in now. All right. Speaking of being careful where you put your hope. You know, I mean, I got all kinds of heat by email because I was defending Trump last night doing that event with Lindsey Graham. Look, you're going to have to go listen to last night's episode in case you want to hear my defense of it. I know Lindsey Graham is a weapons-grade swamp rhino scumbag. I know that. What I simply said was, hey, Trump's going to hang with some people he probably shouldn't be hanging with in order to get the nomination. That's what I said. So I spent like a half hour defending a couple of things people were mad at Trump about. You know my stance on the 2024 primary. It has not changed. It will not change. Nobody has earned my vote right now. Nobody. I don't carry anybody's water. I don't wear anybody's pom-poms. I don't have anybody's bumper sticker on my car, and I never will. Politicians get treated like rental cars for me. I'll vote for Trump in the primary. I'll vote for DeSantis. I'll vote for Noam. I have a bunch of people I'll vote for. You go earn my vote. Go put together a great primary campaign. Compete hard. Fight each other. Call each other names. I don't care. I'm not worried about a fight. It doesn't offend me at all. Go throw mud at each other and go brawl it out and earn my vote. Become a winner. Because I am somebody who was a fan of Donald Trump as president, I want, this is a selfish thing, I'm just telling you about me, I'm always honest with you, I want to make sure I have the option to vote for Donald Trump in the primary. I want the option to go in and once again vote for Donald Trump in a primary. I did last time. Well, I did in 2020. I didn't in 2016. Remember, I was a Cruz guy, but 2020, obviously, I did. Donald Trump went on Real America's Voice, and look, I don't tell you what to do, and I never will. If you got your MAGA hat on, you keep your MAGA hat on. If you're a Trump diehard, you stay a Trump diehard. He was a great president. He's not going to be able to earn my vote unless this stuff changes.
Hey. President Trump, I want to ask you about the vaccines. You know the base. You know MAGA well. They're not happy with it. The CDC is now saying they're concerned about a link to strokes in the vaccine. We've also seen significant spikes in COVID-19 deaths after countries introduced the COVID vaccines. We have these sudden death spikes as well. Look, I know you take credit for getting the vaccines to the American people in record time. I got that. Will you acknowledge now, though, that the COVID-19 vaccines were not as safe or effective as we were told by the medical community at the time?
Well, what I did is, first of all, there were no mandates with me, and right. I had absolutely no mandates, and the governors were allowed to do what they want. Most Republican governors did the right thing, and most Democrat governors didn't, you know, with the lockdowns and all the other things they did, including their views of the vaccine. What I did, I was able to get something approved that, you know, has proven to save a lot of lives. Some people say I saved 100 million lives worldwide.
What about the safety aspect? That's what people are concerned about now. Do you have some concerns about the safety of these vaccines?
Well, I always do, but you have to understand there are the pros and cons. If you could read some reports saying it was the greatest thing that's ever happened and we saved tens of millions of lives. Then you'll read other reports, you'll say there was some problems with the vaccines, sure, in terms of certain things, but relatively small numbers. But you know, you have many reports that say the vaccine saved tens of millions of lives, that without the vaccines, you wouldn't have, you know, you would have had a thing like we had in 1917, where perhaps 100 million people died.
You do with that whatever you want. That's going to be a problem for me. I don't expect Donald Trump, as a billionaire, former president of the United States of America with many accomplishments under his belt. I'm not naive. I don't expect Donald Trump, given the way he is, to get on his knees on camera in front of the American people and sob and beg people for forgiveness for how he handled COVID, starting out with Donald Trump giving a press conference about 15 days to slow the spread.
We're announcing new guidelines for every American to follow over the next 15 days. As we combat the virus, each and every one of us has a critical role to play in stopping the spread and transmission of the virus. We did this today. This was done by a lot of very talented people, some of whom are standing with me.
He's holding up a sign about the 15 days to slow the spread. I don't expect him to beg my forgiveness or your forgiveness for that. I'm not naive. I'm not stupid. But Donald Trump at the time, and I know this because I had somebody very, very close to him, had half of his White House telling him, that's insane. You never shut down an economy. They're overblowing this. You're going to wreck the economy and wreck the American people. And the Jared Kushners of the world were telling him, oh, you better shut down. We're going to lose 800 million people. And he chose to listen to one side and not the other. I expect some sort of ownership of that. So much of why we are where we are began then. Not with Joe Biden. It began then. I'm not asking for groveling apologies here. I need a lot more ownership. Shoot, he's still bragging about it. That's going to be a problem for me. I ain't telling you what to do. It's a long campaign. I give him time to listen to his base. Trump is normally very good about listening to his base. I'll give him time to listen to his base. If that tune doesn't change, I'm out. I'll go pick somebody else. I'm out. There. How about that for offensive? Now, speaking of offensive, let's talk about the Church of England and El Chapo. And, we even have some spicy phone calls coming next hour. We might have to make these fun, right? No, don't call in yet. Nope, I've still got stuff to say. You can call in on your Pure Talk phone. You get a bonus. Remember, if you call in when I actually take calls, I don't do small talk. But if you're calling in on a Pure Talk phone, you get the soundboard sound of your choosing. You want the cannon? You get the cannon. You want the bar? You get the bar. You want Dome laughing? You get Dome laughing. Yeah, Chris, it's not yours. If they have a Pure Talk phone, they've earned the right to get the soundboard item of their choosing. Switch to Pure Talk so you stop funding commie scum, and so you can save a bunch of money and actually feel good about your cell phone bill. Who's ever felt good about that? Pure Talk loves you. The CEO is a veteran. American customer service. Same great 5G network as one of the big guys. There's no reason to not switch. And I realize that's a double negative, but I do that sometimes. From your cell phone, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you an additional 50% off your first month. #250, say Jesse Kelly. All right? All right. The Church of England. And this George Santos guy makes me laugh. I'm sorry, it makes me laugh. We'll talk about that next hour.
This is an iHeart podcast.